bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful once again for this privilege to come here tonight to have foot washing communion and to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Father, believing that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, we would ask, Father, that we might humbly come to thy throne of mercy and believing there's mercy for all that would come. And Father, believing that no man can come except the Father draw him, and those that he draws he will teach, and then they shall learn. And Father, it is our heart's desire, Lord, and knowing that we have the privilege to come here to learn, we ask then that you would help us to get our own thinking out of the way and help us enter into the Shekinah of your divine vindicated word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to conclude the message, The Seed Is Not Over the Shuck, tonight, and this will be number 20. And we'll pick up where we left off this afternoon in verse paragraph 139, where Brother Brown said, Wesley doubted just exactly like Sarah did at the tree. She said, when the angel of the Lord, a man dressed like an angel, God himself, Elohim, dressed like a man, that stood there with dust on his clothes and said that he'd give the promise after Sarah was 90 years old and Abraham 100. And Sarah laughed up her sleeve and said, how could this be when Abraham and I haven't had, well, we haven't been as young people, family relation, maybe for 20 years. She was nearly 100 years old. And she said, me a pleasure with my Lord, me old and him old too, and his stream of life is dead, and my womb's dried up, my breast is gone, the milk veins are gone, how could I have it? And God said, I promised it. He's coming anyhow. You know, again, we could just stop here and just really focus on this, the fact that she represented the church and she just kept looking at her own condition and the condition of those around her. She specifically is looking at her and her husband. And God said, look, for crying out loud, get your eyes off yourself and get them on him. Get them on the promise. And this is the thing, brother, sister, we've got to do or we're gone. Finished. I'd like to continue. He says, so did Wesley. He said, how can we accept them speaking in tongues and divine stuff, divine healing and stuff? It's not for us in this day. And God said, I promise in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And he promised to do it. And he went on and done it anyhow. And the Wesleyan Church, with all of its little pollen sisters of Baptist, Presbyterian, Church of Christ, and Nazarene, Pilgrim, Holiness, United Brethren, and whatever more, died right with it, and the church moved on. And I like what he says, because he says, look, they say, how can it be done? But God's going to do it. You say, my, I look at the condition of the people in this message. How is God going to have a bride ready? Brother, sister, he's going to have a bride ready. There may be eight. There's eight in the ark. There may be eight, brother, sister, there, look, let's face it. There may be only eight. We don't know. Maybe 500, if we're fortunate. Leaves a little more room for each of us. But there's not going to be a whole lot. So get your eyes and your thoughts off that thinking, because there's not going to be a whole lot. See? He goes on, he says, now, what did Pentecost do? Organize it just like the shuck. It done just the same. It organized itself together, set itself in as a shuck. That's right. Pentecost was as Mary. Pentecostal feast. Look what Mary did. What did Mary do wrong? Well, at the Pentecostal feast one time, she was faced with a bunch of dignitaries, priests, when her son, she couldn't find him anywhere. And she went back 3 days' journey. And she had left him like the modern church today, about three times a five or 25 has the church left, about 50 years ago, or 75. Left him at the Pentecostal feast. Mary went back up with Joseph 3 days looking for him. She'd been looking for him, couldn't find him. She found him. And what did she find? She found him in the temple discussing the word of God with the priests. And right in front of those priests, those dignitaries, those dignified, Mary let the curtain drop. She did exactly the thing she should not have done. Call her God, the mother of God? A mother ought to have more wisdom than her son. And she said, your father and I have sought you with tears for days and nights. Your father and I, claiming that the birth wasn't supernatural, that Joseph was the father of Jesus, and she denied the supernatural birth right there. Pentecost, took speaking in tongues. They denied the birth of the Word. That's exactly what it did. They'll take so much of it, but won't take the rest of it. And it denied the birth of the Word, just like Mary did. But watch. There will not be any more organizations after this. Watch. The Word itself, yet 12 years old, just a little bitty thing back in the shucks, he said, "Don't you know I must be about my Father's business?" The Word corrected the church right there. What are you doing all these things for? You know you can't do this. We'll close up our doors. We won't let you come in. "For know you not that I must be about my Father's business?" Sure. Sure, the true supernatural charm. She just claimed him to be Joseph's son, a mere man. Or what Pentecost did, just claimed him to be one of three. Whew, I know that hurt. One of three, but he was all three in one. But the Pentecostals, oh yes, he is the Son of the Father of the Holy Ghost, oh my. But the real true Word speaks right out and said, they're not three of them. There's one of them. And you know not the Word of God. Make not three of them, but one. Now notice, there will be no more carrier mother churches, denominations, after this carrier shuck, because after the shuck there's no more. There's nothing left by them but just the grain. Is that right? Got to be the grain. It's got to be the same kind that went into the ground. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. A spirit come up upon the bride to do the same thing that he did. See? It's the reproducing again of the grain. I like that. A spirit come upon the bride to do the same thing that he did. See, it's the reproducing again of the grain. The Word, yet young, spake for itself, and know not that I must be about my Father's business. There's the secret of the message now. Just exactly the Father's business. And what is the Father's business? Could you think of what the Father's business was to him? To fulfill what Isaiah said, a virgin shall conceive. Fulfill what Isaiah said again, the lame shall leap like a hart, and all these things that it take place. Like Moses said, the Lord your God shall raise up a prophet among you, like unto me. It was the Father's business to fulfill that word. Well, if that come down through them stalks of them natural women, what about these stalks of these spiritual church women? Churches means, women means churches, rather. Is that right? Then what is it now? We must be about the Father's business. The wheat would cry back, the grain, yes, sir. What must it do? Vindicate, Malachi 4. Vindicate, Luke 17:30. Vindicate, Hebrews 13 and 8. Vindicate, St. John's 14:12. Vindicate, all of his word. Vindicate, Revelations, the 10th chapter of the opening of the seven seals and the mysteries of God, even to the serpent seed, and all would be manifested. Marriage and divorce and all these other mysteries that's been hid under the pillars from all these years from the theologians and so forth. But it's now the hour, and that's the Father's business. Think they would receive it? They want to be dignified and say, our denomination don't teach us that. But the Bible does. That's right. God vindicates it to be true. Sure it is. I notice all these things that Brother Branham brought out. He said the purpose of the Father's business is to vindicate. And then he went into all the mysteries to vindicate and all the wisdom. So what do you think the Father's business is, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him? What do you think the message is all about? God himself has come down to do what? The Father's business. To bring it all to conclusion, to get us ready to go home. Notice, fulfilling this age when the seven seals are just proving the denominations has just been carriers. And that's another one of the Father's business, to prove. And the Father's business now is to show you them denominations is not his. They're a man-made system that deny the word, that's right. And notice you say, why, Mary, the great virgin, at the cross, he never called her mother. He called her woman, carrier. not mother. True, she was the carrier of the word, but she was not the word. He was. Oh, yes. See, this is a thing that really, you know, I have to take a step back and look. But many of these churches, you know, they keep preaching the bride is the word, the bride is the word, the bride is the word. Brother, sister, she is not the word. She's a part of the word. There's a big difference. You know, one page out of the book is not the book. One song out of the songbook is not the songbook. My fingernail is not me. My hand is not me. See? And the bride of Jesus Christ is not Jesus Christ. And neither is she the word in that sense. She's a thought. She's an attribute. And it cannot go anywhere beyond that, brother, sister. Or what you've got is you've got people making themselves deity. See? Now there's no denying that deity must dwell within us. But then if you take it to that point, then start worshiping yourself. See how far that'll take you. See? Notice also she was not identified in the resurrection with him. He died and rose again because he was the Word. She was just a carrier. She died and is still in the grave. That's right. So she was just a carrier, not his mother, not God. She was just a carrier like the churches are. That's right. It shows she was just a carrier, not the Word. Now let's close by saying this. Oh, Pentecostal hawks hopping around like vultures, partaking of the world just like the rest of them does, having a form of godliness enough to deceive the very elected if possible, but denying the power thereof, as says the prophet here, a perfect example of what God's word said it would be in the last days, a Laodicea church age, naked, blind, miserable, poor, wretched, and don't know it. Claiming that she's big and wealthy and has need of nothing, and don't know that she's changed from a hawk, a similar brother to the prophet, to keep the word of God straight. She's turned to a vulture and feeding her people on dead ecclesiastical rabbits. That's exactly right. Now wake up. My, how do they expect to be identified or heirs of the eagles when such things as that in this great hour when the rapture's at hand? How they can even go across the world and then tell people that, well, they won't mention Brother Branham's name anymore. They're afraid to be identified with the prophet. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll put my mark right down and tell you one thing. I'll be identified with him in every aspect of my life. And where my aspect of my life does not identify, I'm going to chuck that aspect of my life out. Because I know one thing. He served a true God. And he knew a true God. And if I can just but say what he said, then we'll find solace in that, because it's thus saith the Lord. O Christian, O believer, if you've been a partial believer, keep on attending the meetings for just a little while, will you? We've got something here I believe the Lord wants you to know. It's late and I can't go any farther. I got to close and maybe finish tomorrow night. But look, let us bow our heads just a moment. I don't want you to notice what grammar I use, but I want you to take heed just a minute to what I said. It's plain enough you could understand it, I'm sure, if you desire to. If you're here tonight and you're without this experience, I don't say, well, you say I've danced in the spirit, jumped all around. Yeah, hawks do the same thing. It's like the crows and the vultures. But I'm not asking that. What are you eating on? See, there's your key right there. Brother, sister, what are you feeding on during the week? See, what is feeding your soul? When I hear this little tape, like I mentioned this morning, with little kitty songs on it, and it is no different than what you can turn on any denominational radio station. And, you know, it's cute, I have to admit. It's cute. But they even got into boogie. But that's okay, because, see, they're teaching the kids about Jesus. And pretty soon what you've got is a bunch of church kids. And I suppose it's better than kids going off into rock and roll and everything else, but look, that still doesn't cut it. Either you're serving God or you're not serving God. Either you're moving forward or you're moving backwards. but there's no standing still. See? He says, what are you eating on? Where do you get your daily diet? Where are you feeding from? From the Word of God or some old carrion that's been used back yonder years and years ago? Is your experience even tonight with something you've picked up many years ago? Or is it fresh and new tonight? New manna that's just fell from heaven, and you're feeding your soul on it and looking tomorrow for something good and better. If you're not that way, now with your heads bowed and your eyes closed and your hearts bowed, ask yourself this sincere question. And not to me, but to God. Would you raise your hand in a testimony of saying this, God conditioned my soul and my spirit that I can feed only on the Word of God. Let's all say that together. Raise our hands. God conditioned my soul and my spirit that I can feed only on the Word of God. Would you just raise your hands and say, God bless you, God bless you. I don't know just exactly how many's in here. There's tonight. I'm a very poor judge of crowds, but I'd say at least a third or more raise their hands that they want conditioned souls. Let us remember in prayer now as we bow our heads. Dear God, I'm not responsible. I'm only responsible for saying the word. And by these little simple parables, little types, the people see that one's not going to be heir with the other. And we know that in the last days there's going to be people that's going to be raptured up into the heavens. And some of them will be here when Jesus comes, and we're looking for him to come even tonight. And I'm thinking of about 30 or 33 years ago, knelt here, maybe at this time of night, along 9:30 or 10 o'clock, praying for a father that was lost. And tonight, Lord, I'm praying for many fathers and many mothers and brothers and sisters. Won't you have mercy, dear God? It's too late now for my father to do anything about it. He's passed beyond the boundaries of this life. And soon, Lord, we're all going to pass that way, and I too must go that way. Every man and woman, boy or girl in here, has to go that way, and we will be accountable for what we do with the Word of God. Notice he said every boy and girl, the same thing. What are you going to do with the Word of God that you've got? See? How little did that man seem in the sight of David when he was spitting upon him? How little will those people think that spit upon Jesus the Word when he returns again, those that pierced him? How little will the people feel who could walk away from here and see even not only in some great Greek words and so forth, but in plain nature that teaches of God the Creator, can see the carriers of the Word and see the Word itself and know the hour we're living and the harvest time is near. Dear God, let us not turn our back upon it for some folly of the world, but let us tonight receive him with all of our heart. And Lord, create in me a good spirit, the spirit of life, that I might believe all thy words and accept Jesus the Word, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And believe today on the portion that's allotted to this age. Grant it, Lord, I ask it in Jesus' name. And now I'm going to ask each one of you as you're here, and thinking of this real sincerely, we don't have a church for you to join. We have a pool down there to be baptized in. As many as believed was baptized. If you've never been baptized yet by Christian baptism, that don't mean sprinkling, pouring. That means by immersion. Not in the title of Father, Son, Holy Ghost, but in the name of Jesus Christ. Like the entire church was baptized until the Catholic Church in 303 introduced three gods and three forms of baptism and Trinity titles. If you haven't had that yet, tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, there's robes and things waiting for you down there. And won't you come and join with Jesus Christ? Not with us. We don't have a church even here to take care of you. Go to any church you want to, wherever you come from. But please, believe this word. Do you believe it? Say amen. God bless you, and may you do. If there's anything we can help you, we're here to do it. Now, I know there's sickness here. Our time's got away from us tonight for prayer line. Maybe we'll get it through. I want each of you to do something for me. You're sitting close to somebody. Lay your hands over on that person. And no doubt you're putting your hand upon an eagle. Maybe an eagle that has been eating some vulture food somewhere. Gotten sick of it. They don't want it no more. They want to come out of it. They're sick and tired of it. Sit here tonight and see what eagles really can eat. The Word. And have a living Christ living among them. Showing Himself alive, the same yesterday, today, and forever. They don't want to be heirs with the shucks. They're to be burned. All the straws and things is to be burned. The combine's coming to beat the wheat out. The Lord be with you. There's some of them that's sick, some of them physically sick. I want you to pray. Eagle, pray for your brother, Sister Eagle, there, as I pray for you. May the Spirit of God come upon you. And remember, I'm giving you the food of the eagle, the promise of God. He calls his prophets eagles. He calls himself an eagle. He's Jehovah Eagle. And while you have your hands laid upon one another, pray for them. Our Heavenly Father, your word said the last commission you give to your church was to go into all the world and preach the gospel, the general orders. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they should drink any deadly thing, it wouldn't hurt them. If they take up serpents, they'll not harm them. And if they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. O Jehovah Eagle, feed your little ones tonight upon that word, Lord. They're needy. And that's the diet they need. That's what they need. To know what the food is, what thus saith the Lord is. You promised if they laid their hands on one another that they would recover. O Lord God, take all doubts and vulture ideas away from us now. And we feed solemnly upon the eagle food of the Word of God. Let every unclean spirit that's in these people, every spirit of doubting, every spirit of fear, every denominational claim, every habit, every sickness, every disease that's among the people leave. And in the name of Jesus Christ, may it come out of this group of people. And may they be free from this hour on, that they can eat the eagle food that we're believing that you'll send us through the week. Lord, breaking open those seals and showing us those mysteries that's been hid since the foundations of the world, as you promised. They are yours, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All that believe and accept, stand to your feet and say, I believe, I accept that. What God promised me, I receive. The Lord bless you. That's wonderful. Every person standing, that's good. Accord, I love him. Let's sing this hymn to him now. I love him because he first loved me, all together now. And then he sings a song, I love him. If you do, let's raise your hands, I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Oh, isn't he wonderful? Let's just shake hands with one another, Brother Eagle. Just turn around, Sister Eagle, shake hands, we'll sing. I love him. Congregation greets one another. On Calvary's tree, let's raise our hands again to him. I love him because he first loved me. And he makes us eagles. And purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. How will you know? How will the world know that you love Jesus? When we love one another. That's how the world, see. God sees your faith. The world sees your actions. Love one another now. Be kind to one another. Talk with one another. Be patient with one another. And any further instructions we can give, baptism, seeking the Holy Ghost, we don't have any rooms here to do that in, you understand. The altar call, if God's convinced you that this is right, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you want to join him, with him, go and be baptized in his name tomorrow, then there'll be man there to instruct you. Anything we can do to help you, we'll do it. I love him. I love him. Because, and then he says, you on the telephone now, Tucson over in California, way up in the east, raise your hands way out and praise him. Purchase my salvation on Calvary's tree. Now until tomorrow night, I give you Brother Neville, our pastor. It's a tremendous message. I hope and trust that during this series you might understand, not that I have things against anybody, I don't. Those who would be my enemies because of the gospel, I still want to love them and be a brother. And, you know, the Bible says that if they would say things against you or revile you, he said basically to just give them love in return and don't say anything evil. And he said, and it heaps coals of fires upon their head. I believe that we've done a fairly good job of that with situations that we've had here over the past, people leaving, saying cruel things, and not turning back and saying cruel things. I realize there have been some times we failed, but for the general part, I don't think that we've held any grudges. And you know, you better not, because the Bible says that, behold, the judge standeth at the door, says, grudge not one against another. I don't know what the next message will be, but hopefully, and I say that with reverence, that it'll be something that God himself directs us into. I'm going to be leaving tomorrow for 3 days. I should be back on 2 o'clock on Wednesday. I'm going to Los Angeles. If you would pray for me and my family, pray for them. You know, it's not easy pastoring, especially when you're pastoring a small group. It's much less easy because when you've got a large group, you've got basically the reason why groups become large is because you've got people within the group who are sharing with other people, and there's once a handful start coming in, then it seems like it's almost like a suction. You know, people get they see something happening there, and so people want to go where the action is at, and that's happened in this group here at least twice. When we first began, people started coming from distances to come because there was something happening. And I don't know, I guess I just, when it comes to being able to hold a group together, I'm a failure because I don't have the pizzazz, I don't have the right things to say, the things that they want to hear. But I do believe with all my heart, and I can say that I really believe with all my heart that I've been faithful to say what he said and try to say it in the way that he said it. And that's all I can offer back one day and say that I've not failed or I've not shunned to proclaim the gospel. And brother, sister, that's all we can do. I really don't expect things are going to get to where there's going to be the big band playing and the people feel like, you know, they're really marching and there's a lot of pomp and ceremony. I really believe that, you know, when Jesus Christ was in going up Calvary's road there, that there wasn't any band playing. There was a lot of mourning going on. The church had scattered and you know, he's been crucified again in this day. Now, yes, I think the big band was playing in the early days of Brother Branham's ministry. I believe when he went out with healing, there was a lot of anticipation, a lot of joy. People looked at the imminency of the Lord. But you know, just as Brother Branham's ministry faded out almost into oblivion. His last few sermons were out in the Arizona area, preaching to maybe 8 people in a trailer house. Not too much different from Jesus' Last Supper. And his last few meetings where there were almost closed house type sessions. And then, brother, sister, when he was put to death, the crucifixion took place, you could hardly get any of the brothers and sisters together. A little pocket here, a little pocket there. A lot of confusion. I see it all around us, this confusion. But all you've got to do is go back to Alpha and see the day and the conditions. And all you got to do then is open your eyes and look what is happening in this message. And you can see that the day and the conditions are the same. And what does that mean? It means that we're very, very close to the end. Now, I'm sure that when Noah first began to build his ark, it attracted all kinds of people. And even while the ark was going up, it attracted even more people. But eventually, you know, he did this for 120 years. I think that the last so many years where maybe he was just throwing a little pitch in here, a little, you know, patching this and patching that. The ark sat there maybe for, who knows, maybe 20 years. He was filling in any areas that had to be filled in. I'm sure that it got to be old after a while. And the people decided just, you know, he's just a nut. He's been doing this for a long time. He's just crazy. We'll just leave him alone. I don't think that there was a thousands of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh in this hour. The revelation of the manifestation has been crucified. You can't talk to them. I've tried to talk to many ministers. I try to be cordial. I try to be a brother to them so that they cannot come back and say, well, you know, they're just pompous. They're arrogant. But one day I'll stand at the day of judgment, and as a brother, as God is my witness, he can say, no, this man never had nothing against you. He tried to do what he could. He tried to befriend you. He tried to talk. But you never would let him speak. Then it's up to them. And that's my motive. That's my heart's desire, is just to live as godly a life as I can. Not that my godly life is going to produce anything, but maybe it'll produce a smile and a satisfaction in my Savior's heart. Hoping and trusting that I can raise up my family in the admonition of the one I love, and hoping and trusting that the love that I have for him, they'll have for him. You know, there's not a whole lot beyond that, brother, sister, we can ask of each other. Just simply that I long to see them with me throughout eternity. I long to see you with me throughout eternity. And hopefully by the grace of God, we'll be there. But between now and then, it's not going to get easy. Squeeze has got to come. There'll be reasons, brother, sister, you'll be persecuted for reasons not even of your own. Just like they did in the early church ages there, where they took the Christians out just because they're Christians. Just because they worship God in a strange way, a way which was different. And that's exactly what we are accused of, worshiping two gods. Anybody that's ever heard me speak or Brother Vail speaks, you know that we do not believe in two gods. We believe there's one God, and he had a son. You'll be accused of many, many things. They accused Jesus falsely, so let them. You see, the thing that we need to get beyond is getting upset with how other people think and other people react. What you need to do is have your eyes and your heart so on him. And realize, brother, sister, that he was a man acquainted with grief, a man of sorrows. He knows what you're going through. And so with that in mind, Brother Howard and, Brother Dwayne and Brother Ron, if you come forward at this time. And Brother Howard, if you could come through the line first so that you can. And above all, just love one another. You know the old expression, love is blind. Love doesn't look at one another to find fault with one another. Love looks beyond the faults. We all have faults. We all have complexes because we all have a body. And as I said this morning, It's your mind that he wants. This body, he don't want it. You know why? It's a hybrid. But he wants your mind. He wants your soul. And when you give him your mind, your body will follow. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer.